Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
If I remember, you know, God's in control of everything. These things were all known to him in advance. And then God knew that I would be in this situation right here today. And therefore, I can trust him that if he's allowed me to come to this situation, he wants me to stand for him. And come what may, I'm just going to trust him for the future.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Acts. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Acts chapter 4, verses 13 through 31, in a message titled, The Sovereign Lord and the Threats of Men. Now here's Pastor Brian.
As we take our step of faith, we can trust that the Spirit will empower us and give us what we lack. So if I lack courage, God will give me the courage. And that's what we see happening with Peter here. So he's filled with the Spirit. That's the reason why he's emboldened the way he is. But there's a second part to this as well. And I think this is it. Peter not only is filled with the Spirit, but underneath now, there is this certainty of who Jesus is. There's the certainty that Jesus is indeed the Son of God because Peter knows that Jesus is risen from the dead. Peter knows that Christ conquered the grave. So as he stands in front of these men who put Jesus to death, he knows that these men really have no power because the one they put to death rose from the dead. And he's there representing that one. So it's his deep conviction of the certainty of the resurrection of Christ coupled with this empowering of the Spirit that gives him the boldness. Now, they responded this way as well because they knew that come life or death, God was in control of everything. They knew that God was in control of all of history. And of course, if God's in control of all of history, then they understood that God was in control of their lives as well, and there was nothing to be afraid of. Now, think about this. When we are intimidated, and when we are pressured, or when, you know, somebody pushes against us because we're standing up for the name of Jesus, what's happening there with us? When we back down, we're backing down because we're afraid of something. Now, for most of us, we're not really afraid anybody's going to kill us because that's, you know, not all that likely, at least in our context. I mean, that does happen in places though, right? But that's not it so much for us. What it is for us, it's more just rejection. You know, we're going to be rejected. We're going to be looked upon as foolish, or we're going to be, you know, pushed away from this particular group or something like that. But what does that say to us? If that's the thing that is causing us to back down, it really shows us that we're more concerned with the approval of people than we are with the approval of God. But if we understand who God is, he's the one who made the heaven and the earth. He's the one who holds all history in his hand. He's the one who prophesied and told us in advance all of these things were going to happen. You know, at the end, do I really care what somebody else thinks in comparison to what God thinks? So they knew that they had nothing to fear because as they got the perspective of God's sovereignty, it put everything in its proper place. So here are these men telling us not to do something that God told us to do. So we're not gonna worry about the potential outcome. We're gonna trust that God's in control of everything. And as we see again, they prayed because they knew that the real issue here was spiritual. Now think about this. Faced with these kinds of things, opposition from the governmental authorities is what we have here. think of the different things that we might opt to do if we're faced with something like that. You know, we might opt to write our congressman. You know, I got in trouble because I stood up for Jesus, and I want you to, you know, as my congressman, I want you to take note of that, and I want you to make sure that that doesn't happen to me again. Or, you know, we got to get rid of these people that are in power. We got to get new people elected that are going to give us the freedom to do what we want to do. I mean, those are the things that sometimes we just sort of naturally gravitate toward. But those things are not really striking at the root of the issue, because the issue is really spiritual. And they understood that they were in a spiritual battle, and they understood that they needed God to intervene. Now, I'm going to break the news to you about this today, and it might not make you happy, but you know, the reality is, for most of human history, most rulers have been corrupt, evil people. Do you know that? I mean, it's really true. It really is. And where you find exceptions, they are the exception. But that's kind of the way it is. And God is not in the habit historically of just, you know, hey, well, let's just get rid of this guy and put somebody else in. He oftentimes lets those evil people, I mean, these are the people that killed Jesus and they're still in power. But the apostles aren't even praying, Lord, you know, just wipe Caiaphas out. Get rid of Annas. Get rid of all these wicked. These guys were wicked to the bone. They were corrupt. They were corrupt before they ever met Jesus. But that's not how they dealt with it. They dealt with it through prayer, because they knew that behind the scenes, there was even something more sinister. They realized that there was a spiritual force that was working against them. So they prayed, because they understood that the essence of the conflict was spiritual. So they were bold because of the empowering of the Spirit and the conviction of the resurrection of Christ. They trusted in God's sovereignty, that God was watching over them, and since he'd led them there, that they could count on him to take care of them, and then they committed everything to him in prayer. Now, I want us to just look at what this situation here can teach us. What can we learn from their experience? Well, one thing we should learn from their experience, and the experience of most people even throughout history, is that the gospel will most commonly be met with resistance. The rest of the book of Acts, now up until this point, at least in the book of Acts anyway, it's a relatively short period of time, but there's been sort of a free flow of the gospel. You know, the gospel has gone out, people have responded, and the many thousands have come to know the Savior. But we're not too far into that, you know, probably a few weeks, and all of a sudden, the gospel is now met with resistance, and that's the rest of the story of the book of Acts. But what we need to understand is that's just the reality. That is just the way it is. For the most part, throughout every generation, the gospel advances in the face of resistance. So we shouldn't be surprised by that. We should expect that, really. If we have seasons where there's no resistance, I mean, we're just like, wow, this is fantastic. Thank you, Lord. But there's always some sort of resistance, whether it's spiritual or sociopolitical or cultural or personal. Christ and his gospel are going to be resisted because the gospel is a threat. You know what it's a threat to? It's a threat to personal power. Now think about this. Think about what happened here. A lame man was healed. Isn't that a good thing? When you think, you know, here's this guy who never walked. He was born in this condition. He never walked, and Jesus healed him, and now he's walking and leaping and praising God. You would think that everybody was be like, this is the greatest thing ever. Look what Jesus did. But they didn't do that. Why? Because it was a threat to their position. And this goes all the way back into the gospel accounts. We know that this was the case. Remember that one occasion where Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus needed to die for the nation rather than the whole nation perish, because he said, look, everybody's going after him. And if everybody follows him, we'll be irrelevant. And the Romans will come and take away our place. That was their reason for getting rid of Jesus, because he was threatening their power structure. And that was the same thing as just carrying over now into post-resurrection time. They are fearful of Jesus because he is a threat to their position. But that's always true. It's true whether it's in the spiritual realm. Why does Satan so persistently oppose the advancement of the gospel? Because it is taking away his power. There's nothing that you will do to advance God's kingdom that won't be met with some sort of resistance. It might be invisible resistance, but it's very real. I can't tell you how many times I've experienced it or seen it with other people. You take a step of faith, you decide, you know, you're going to go out and you're going to do something for the Lord. You're going to, I don't know, maybe you're going to go on a missions trip, or maybe you're just going to open up your home and you're going to have a Bible study, or maybe you plan to do some sort of outreach, and all hell breaks loose. And a lot of times people just say, well, you know, forget that. I'm not going to try that anymore, because look what happened. Everything went crazy. Well, that's the spiritual battle. That's the resistance that we face. And so it happens in all of these different realms because of the threat that Jesus brings to every opposing power structure. And the gospel, therefore, is met with fierce resistance. Fierce, albeit futile resistance, because in the end, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. But you've noticed this undoubtedly, but let me just remind you of some of these things. Isn't it interesting how people just, the name of Jesus just makes people get the, you know, there's just something about that. You know, people go into fits over the name of Jesus. You can pray, that's fine. But just don't tack on that "in Jesus' name" thing to the prayer. Do you know that I know pastors, and we've even had invitations. You know, once in a while you get an invitation to come to like a city council meeting or something like that. You know, they want you to pray over a particular thing or to open up a meeting. And did you know that there are times when they will contact us and say, we'd like you to come and pray, and that would be really wonderful. We always like to have a reverend come over. When they say reverend, you always know that... You're a little suspicious right there. But, you know, we want to have the reverend come over and say a prayer. But now we just need you to know that you can't pray in Jesus' name. Oh, really? Why? I mean, what if we prayed in some other name? Would that be okay? You know, but I mean, seriously, you can't pray in the name of Jesus. This is something that we see. And nothing's really changed, because that's pretty much what the issue was back then, right? What did they say to them? They said that you are not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. You know, you can talk about religion today, but you can't talk about Jesus. And we have all had those experiences, I would imagine, when, you know, you just see people are coming unglued just over the name of Jesus. You can talk about his holiness, the Dalai Lama, but if you talk about his holiness, Jesus Christ, you're looked at as some sort of a, you know, radical. But this is just the spirit that we're dealing with here. So we need to know that. We learn this from their experience. The powers that be will always resist the gospel. We also need to know, as they knew, that God is sovereign. That God is in control. Do we believe that? That God is really in control. Now, I'm asking you, do you believe that? And do you believe it to the point where you've made it very much just something that you're basing your life on, so that when you go out into the world, when you go onto your job or whatever context you're in, if the opportunity arises, you're going to speak up for Jesus. You're going to talk about Jesus as the opportunity arises, and you're not going to worry about the consequences. Now, a lot of times we draw back because of the potential negative consequences. People say, well, you know, I can't do that because, you know, I could lose my job if I, you know, if I stood up for the Lord. And I'm not talking about being rude or being, you know, and I mean, sometimes as Christians, we can think that we're standing up for the Lord, but we're really just being kind of rude. So, you know, we want to make sure we're differentiating between that. But, you know, there are just those moments when you know that, you know, this is a time when I need to stand. But sometimes what happens is we cower under the pressure because we think, well, you know, if I do that, you know, I might, you know, lose my standing with these people, or I might lose the possibility of that promotion, or I might even lose my job. In some places, you might even lose your life. What do we do when we're faced with that? Well, if we forget the sovereignty of God, then we probably will buckle under the pressure. But if I remember, you know, God's in control of everything. God made heaven and earth, the sea and everything that's in them. God said through the mouth of his prophets that these things would happen. These things were all known to him in advance. And then God knew that I would be in this situation right here today, and therefore I can trust him that if he's allowed me to come to this situation, he wants me to stand for him, and come what may, I'm just going to trust him for the future. See, this is where it comes down to real practical faith, where I'm trusting God, even though in standing for Jesus in this situation, it might cost me a friendship, it might cost me my employment or something like that, but I'm trusting God. That's what these guys were doing. That's what we have to do. And then, again, we see them praying for the gospel to go forward and counting on the Lord to fill them with his Spirit in order to accomplish the mission. Now, this is what I want us to take away. As I mentioned in the beginning, all of this happened, as I've already said, these are things that are just completely beyond their control, but they're obviously things that God has set up. So again, you know, let's just think about Peter and John. They're together with the other disciples. It's getting close to the hour of prayer. They decide, hey, let's go over to the temple for the hour of prayer. All right, let's go. And there they go, off to the temple. They come along, they see this man, this lame man. They probably had seen him before. For all we know, Jesus might have even walked by this man. But on this particular occasion, Peter recognizes that God wants to do something here. So Peter, like we pointed out previously, Peter takes a step of faith. And he engages this man and he says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And from that simple act of obedience, taking the step of faith, here they are back before the very men that put Jesus to death, testifying once again to the reality of Jesus as the Messiah. So as we who are serious about following Jesus, as we take steps of faith, as the opportunities arise in the course of our daily life, you know, the ramifications of that can be so far-reaching. You never know what's going to happen. That's the thing. That's so exciting, to be caught up in the sovereignty of God, to just be swept up in something the Lord's doing. You don't even realize it. There's just, you know, a situation you find yourself in and you just feel like, you know, I should talk to this person right now, or I should pray for them right now, or I should just extend a helping hand or something. It just comes on your heart like, you know, this is what you need to do. And you never know that that might be a door that opens that's going to just cause a succession of opportunities to come about as a result. You know, I was with my son the last few days, my oldest son, and they had a number of young people over at the house. And in our conversation, my son just went around the room and he was kind of pointing out people to me, and he was telling me how those people came to faith through their ministry. And it was so fascinating to listen to these stories because, you know, one woman was, you know, she was just sort of lost in life and didn't really know what she was looking for. And she goes into a coffee place and she has a conversation with this person. And this woman says to her, you know, there's a church. The lady doesn't even go to the church. There's this church that it seems like you would be a good fit for there. You should check it out. So she decides, okay, I'll go check it out. Well, she gets saved. And, you know, then they go on to tell me about, you know, how she, you know, met this guy in the church and they got married and, you know, all of these great things. And I think for myself, I think of, you know, all the many years of ministry, and I think of all of the different stories of people's lives, how just one little thing opened up an opportunity and led to this series of events that resulted in this amazing thing. And let's not forget that. Let's recognize that that's how God works. Let's just make ourselves available to just be swept up in one of those scenarios that God sometimes creates. But like I'm saying, the thing about these guys is that they were serious about following Jesus, and all of this happened in the course of their daily lives. And so as you go out into your daily life this week as a follower of Jesus, just be open to an opportunity. And when the opportunity comes, take the step and see what happens. But remember this: boldness, courage comes from the power of the Spirit. The book of Acts is, as we pointed out very early on, it's very much about the ministry and the power of the Spirit. So guess what? Before you go out the door every day this week, you can just say, Lord, I'm going out. I don't know what's going to happen out there, but Lord, fill me with your Spirit so that when the opportunity arises, I have the courage to take that step. We can do that very thing. Remember, it's the power of the Spirit that emboldens us. It's the deep conviction that Jesus really is the Savior. He really did die. He really did rise from the dead. If I don't have that deep, deep conviction, then I'm not going to be as inclined to boldly step out. So I need to strengthen my faith. I need to get more into God's word. Remember that God is sovereign. Don't back down because there might be some consequence. Know that God can overrule that. God is bigger than the consequence. And if there was some negative fallout, like you lost your job, well, guess what? God will provide something else. He will take care of that. We can trust him to do those kinds of things. And as we commit to prayer, and as we just finish up here, notice they just said, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. As they prayed, God responded. And so as we pray in faith, we can expect that God will respond as well.
For the month of November, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Answers to Prayer. Be inspired by the joy of answered prayer from the narratives of George Mueller. Read about God's work of conversion, revival, and provision, and how the same God can answer your prayers today. The book, Answers to Prayer by George Mueller, is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbrodersen.uk, where you can find more resources or sign up for Pastor Brian's free weekly email devotional. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Acts. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.